Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Illinois' animal-friendly laws are getting friendlier, and soon pets' interests may even be considered in divorce cases. We'll have more on that. But first, as we all know, there are lots of things to do and places to go in our region. But could you name 100 of them? You don't have to. Author Amanda Doyle has done it for you. She has created a bucket list in an updated version of her recent book, 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die. It's the second edition of the book published just a few years ago, and Amanda Doyle joins us in studio. Great to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me back.
What is different about edition two?
What is different? Why should anyone buy this again? That's a great question. Well, what is different is that the entire list of 100 things, and it's actually 100 plus because some categories I cheated and put in a few things under one category. There are about 10 to 12 completely new entries on the list that came in place of some stuff that rolled off. And then the entire book has been completely updated. Some places have changed what are their, you know, best features or their prominent exhibits or anything like that that would be of interest to a potential visitor. And then just in terms of cosmetics, it got photographs, which the first edition didn't have. It's got expanded suggested itineraries in the back and an index. Uh-huh. People seem to love an index. So
it makes it a lot easier.
Little book features like that, that people might find user-friendly.
You know, you're just talking off the air. This concept has really caught on across the country, hasn't it?
It has. So the first edition of the St. Louis book was published in 2013, mm-hmm. fall of 2013. And there are now more than 70 other cities that have a locally written by someone local to that area, 100 Things to Do in Reno, San Luis Obispo, places like that. So it's gone all over the place, and it's been really exciting. I had no idea that would happen, and so I had to get another crack at it, as I said.
Do you think you had anything to do with getting all of this started?
I mean, I think – well, I know I did because part of it was this book wasn't intended to be a template but turned out to be such a great – local asset that readers really enjoyed. So the publisher wanted to recreate that. Publishers like to sell books, it turns out. And I also was able to find authors in some of those cities because I went to journalism school. I know plenty of starving writers. And I know a lot of people who love where they live, which I think is the most important thing. Good writing is important, of course, but the best thing is to just really have a sense of enthusiasm about your city.
And sense of humor. I mean, you've got a lot of that in there, and that's a good thing to do for something like this.
Sure, right, because you want people to feel, I mean, it should be fun. It should be fun to have an afternoon or a week or whatever you're going to devote to checking out your own city.
What do you think it is that causes people from out of town? You're from Tennessee, is that correct?
Originally. Mm-hmm,
originally from Tennessee. So it's sort of transplanted. And you take St. Louis very seriously. You've worked very hard at learning about it, whereas people who've lived here all of their lives seem more casual and probably are surprised by a number of the things you have in your book.
That's probably true. I don't know if it's uniquely St. Louis that we're so cavalier about where we live because, for example, I grew up largely in Memphis. When I was in Memphis, we didn't do a lot of the obvious things all the time because I think wherever you live, you're living your life. You're getting groceries and going to work and, you know, going to a soccer game, things like that. So it makes it hard to make the time. Usually when you have people come from out of town or you have family visit, things like that, is when you go out and do some of the attractions. But I also think St. Louis a little bit has something going against us is it's pretty easy to live here in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. We don't have horrendous traffic. We don't have insanely high rents. It's not a struggle for most people most of the time to get through just the basics of daily life. And so I think that can sort of lull us a little bit to think like, well, it's kind of a nice little sleepy kind of place and I know what I know and that's all there is.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here 20 years.
Oh, well, you've been here for a while.
Have I crossed over? I don't know.
What is your favorite thing about St. Louis?
Oh, gosh.
Out of all the places you've visited and written about?
My favorite things to do are things that I actually don't do as often as I wish I did, but is the amazing amount of natural variety that we have around here in terms of being able to go not too far and get to mountains, not too far and get to a river, not too far and see marshes. Just sort of again, that's an undersung thing. I don't think most people think, oh, St. Louis has an amazing environment, but we really do, and it's very easy to get to.
You're seeing a marsh right now.
There's one right in front of me.
That's right.
I'm checking it off.
They're all over the place.
Okay, I've got 99 more things, and then it's on to the next book.
I have a number of questions specific about the book, but we have an email here that I think will start this way. Susan writes, she's from Metropolis. I used some of Amanda's suggestions in her original book 2 years ago over spring break. We didn't go out of town, so instead I implemented, quote, the magical mystery tour. Each day we would go to a different place or places around the area that the kids and my husband had not been to. No one knew in advance where we were going except me. And even the driver, my husband, just got turn-by-turn directions from me so as not to divulge any locations. What a neat idea for a young family.
That is fantastic. I think she should take that show on the road, get a little bus, and sign people up for it. That's really cool. And it does that's a lot of how I thought the book would be used. Kind of, I call it the glove compartment book. Just keep it around, and when you have, you know, 3 hours between things, or you just want to check out something new on a nice Sunday afternoon, find something you haven't done before.
Right. By the way, we'll offer the opportunity for members of our listening audience to call in if they have something they'd like to have on their bucket list or would like to feel that should be on the bucket list. Give us a call and talk about it. Have Amanda Doyle respond to whatever you have to say. Now, your book, 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die, broken down into categories. What are the categories?
That's a great question. I'm going to see how many I remember from memory. We have food and drink, sports and recreation, music and entertainment, culture. I was about to say nature and the outdoors. That's under recreation. Culture and history. And then kind of a catch-all category at the end called neighborhoods and places. I mean, everywhere in here is a place of some kind, but those are more general, like Cherokee Street is an example of that. I don't want to pick out just one thing. I want to tell you about the whole area.
Yeah, and neighborhoods, obviously, very, very important to St. Louis.
Sure.
I believe when I called for calls from the audience, I didn't give our number.
Oh.
382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on air. Well, you start with food and drink. And books of this ilk always start with food and drink.
It's something everybody does. We all eat at some point. And I know when I travel to other places, my itinerary always starts with all the places I want to eat and drink. Mm-hmm. And then I try to work other things in between. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a common denominator that everyone loves. And St. Louis has such a strong food scene, as you know, since you have people in here every week talking about our food scene. So it's just, it's a natural, and it gives an easy access point, I think, also. If you think, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to some random museum I never heard of, but sure, I'll go eat barbecue. So
do you visit these places or just go by virtue of the fact that the places are well known?
I try to go to every place that I write about because on the internet, no one knows you're a dog. You remember this old cartoon. So things can look really great on Facebook or, you know, on a top 10 list of someone else's, but I want to see it for myself. And, of course, I do look into what other things they've done in the past that I may not know about or ratings or awards or things like that. But I try to set foot in every single place.
Do you take suggestions from friends and people you run into?
For sure. I think that's one of the things because I was loath to, you know, you put yourself out there with a book like this and people think, oh, well, I'm going to find out what you think, you know, or I'll challenge you either way. But it's not, this is not intended to be a best of. It's just intended to be sort of my take. And so I like it when people give me suggestions because there are plenty of things in St. Louis that I know zero about.
One of the things you do in your book is you have tips for seasonal trips, kind of what the email writer of a few minutes ago was talking about.
Right, right.
Yeah. Give us some sense of how that works.
So there is a tendency, of course, to just hole up once it gets to be a little chilly, at least if you're like me. Maybe I'm speaking only for myself. I could pretty much not leave the house in cold weather. But there are lots and lots of things to do in St. Louis in the fall and winter months. And I think providing people ideas that last throughout the year gives this book some value. So, for example, the Loop Ice Carnival is something that, as long as we continue to have winters and as long as Joe Edwards can continue to import giant blocks of ice, is a great way to get out of the house, get the blood flowing a little bit, see some amazing performances, and just have fun all up and down the Del Mar Loop. One of my favorite things to do in the fall is to go on the Wabash, Frisco, and Pacific Railroad, which is a small gauge railroad out near Glencoe, Missouri. And It's so unexpected. You kind of drive through this little residential street and park your car, and then lo and behold, there is a working steam railroad in front of you that you sit on, and you go out along the Merrimack River into the woods, and then you turn around and come back. And it's charming.
And you don't have to spend a lot of money to do most of the things that you have in your book.
Absolutely not. And I think, of course, these days it seems like everywhere is adding sort of the spend more money or VIP option. I'm fine if you want to do that, but I also have two kids, and I am currently a freelance writer and book author, so we're not rolling in it. So I like to try to find places that we can just have fun, because you don't have to spend a lot to have a great time at some of these places.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, because you have 100 things. But what are some of the least known places that you've bumped into?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say. Let me think about that. Well, actually, I picked out a couple of what I consider to be off-the-beaten-path museum-type institutions. One of them is called the HealthWorks Kids Museum, and it's sort of behind the Science Center off of Oakland and Macklin. It's a revisioning of what used to be the Delta Dental Works Museum down on the landing. So they imported the giant mouth that shows kids how to have proper dental hygiene, but they've turned it into a whole museum about the body and about staying healthy and just how to keep your body in good shape. And it's got a thing they call the interactive dude on the inside, which is an enormous, I mean, multiple feet, 20 to 30 feet big cutaway fiberglass sculpture of a human body that the kids can play in. Like, you can slide down the rib cage and frolic on the femur and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's one. The other thing I think is some of the African American institutions and sites of interest that. And this is where I should say, again, this is my experience of St. Louis. So as a white person in St. Louis, I was not that familiar with a lot of places that have been institutions for a long time. So one of the things in the book is going to the Annie Malone May Day Parade. I think everyone in St. Louis should do that. I would like to do it every year. I don't always get to it every year. But it is just it's such a slice of what life is like in St. Louis, and it's got such great tradition behind it. So that's something I would recommend also.
And a lot of people don't know who Annie Malone was, and the fact that she was a millionaire several times over.
Right.
She was very influential in this community.
She was, and she invented all these entrepreneurial systems and products, and just an amazing life story.
You mentioned kids. A lot of what you have in here is for kids, but not everything.
No, not everything. I like to, I'm frequently rolling with my kids, so I'm always looking for things we can do together. But for sure there are things, and that's one of the suggested itineraries in the back, actually, that I really like, is ideas for a date night with yourself or anyone else that you want to take with you. So things like going out to see the blues anywhere in some of our great clubs, taking a riverboat cruise, going to the St. Louis Fringe Festival, which is something that's new to this edition, going dancing at Casa Loma Ballroom. All of these are things that don't necessarily involve you dragging along your children.
Yeah. The Casa Loma Ballroom, that goes back a long way.
It sure does, and it's amazing. It's still hopping.
And a lot of memories for a lot of people in this community. We're talking with Amanda Doyle. She is the author of 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die. This is the second edition of the book. The initial and original book came out about 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago. We'll continue our conversation with her. And again, if you'd like to make comments about your own bucket list or things you should be on a bucket list, give us a call at 382-8255. We'll be back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Amanda Doyle, author of 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die. Well, coming out of that last headline about having the St. Louis police chief talk to the Aldermanic Committee, it takes us to an email from Chris in Forestell. She says, I happened to read your guest's recent column in St. Louis Magazine about her challenge in celebrating all these great things about St. Louis at a time when our community is struggling with such divisive issues. I'd love for her to elaborate on how she finds the balance between these two forces in our city right now.
Well, well, that is the question, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
In fact, the week that this book came out was, when we were having a lot of really just disturbing national headlines about St. Louis and about the Stockley verdict and about protests and about counter-protests, and it felt like a really charlatan type exercise to be out there telling people, oh, this is such a great city. Here's all the things you can go do. So I guess my answer to that is that you have to be honest about the place where you are. And I think it's undoubtable that we have major challenges in St. Louis. I don't know. I feel kind of lucky to live in St. Louis right now, actually, because I don't necessarily think our challenges are a lot different than a lot of cities. They're just coming to a head in a different way. To me, I feel like this is the greatest time in the world to be here because I hope that we can come up with actual positive lasting solutions. And I hope my family is part of that change. But it does require a little bit of tricky footwork to celebrate the things that are worth celebrating, while again admitting my own biases, my own lack of knowledge about a lot of the history of this town. And so I think one way that people can sort of for themselves keep positivity going while also not denying the things that are around them is to seek out some of these places that are more challenging. One of the places in the book that was in the first edition as well is the Griot Museum of African American History, which is on St. Louis Avenue in North City. It is just a treasure trove of anything you would want to know about the experience of African Americans in St. Louis, but also in the world. The Annie Malone Parade that I mentioned. If people have not been to the History Museum's number one and civil rights exhibit that's there right now through spring, I can't recommend anything more than that. So I think just deliberately exposing yourself to things that you might not otherwise is one way to find that balance.
As a matter of fact, I think that your book can be a contributing factor to that because it does encourage people to move around and get to know some of the places they might otherwise not even have known about.
For sure, yeah. And I find St. Louis to be a very welcoming place. So I feel no sort of trepidation about going into neighborhoods that are unfamiliar to me and asking people what their stories are. Mm-hmm. I think that's how we get to a better place.
How about the East Side? Do you work that into your places?
Absolutely. Actually, when you asked me my favorite thing, I forgot that I also am usually beating the drum about Cahokia Mounds. Mm-hmm. Because to me, not being from here, I wasn't a third or fourth grader, whenever it is in St. Louis, when you go on your standard field trip to Cahokia Mounds, and then for many people, that's the first and last time they've ever been there. I encountered it as an adult and found it unbelievably amazing. I still talk about it all the time. So I think that's something that if you have not done or you haven't done since fourth grade, you should get in the car right now, turn on the radio and listen while you drive, and then you should go there and do that. But yes, there's a lot of stuff that is, that makes it, it's all St. Louis. We have a big river that way. We have a big river the other way as well, but all of those places are covered for sure.
We're talking with Amanda Doyle. She's the author of 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die. By the way, Amanda is going to be appearing at a couple of locations over the next couple of weeks to talk about the book. On Sunday, October 15th, the book sale and signing at the Campbell House Museum. And on Saturday, November 4th, the book signing at the 6th North Cafe in Baldwin.
Right. I'm going to Baldwin. People should write that down. I don't get past the inner loop a lot of times. So,
Where is your book sold?
The book is at all local independent bookstores. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at the gift shop at the History Museum, which is a great place to find many local books. And it's sold out of the back of my Toyota Matrix if you see me driving around town.
You managed to work wrestling into the book. I thought wrestling was done for when they left the chase.
When they left the chase, right. Well, so yes, there's a monthly wrestling show, do we call it? I think we might need to call it a show.
With wrestling, it's definitely a show.
Definitely a show at the South Broadway Athletic Club, which is on South Broadway, oddly enough. And this is something that I was introduced to through friends probably 15 years ago. It is just like Saturday morning wrestling was when I grew up, which was in the late 70s. So outrageous characters, grudge matches, girl hair pulling fights, chairs being smashed, all of it. People come, the crowd who comes have favorites for sure. There are kids there screaming their hearts out for, ridiculous villains and great heroes. And it's super fun.
How long has this been going on? Do you know?
I mean, I feel like it's been decades. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what there was. I know there is a lineage from people who were at the chase, at wrestling at the chase, but I'm not sure of what the all the timeline is.
Let's take a call. Ron is joining us from Veronica Park, and he's bringing up a subject that I wanted to get to anyway. Ron, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, it's not Ron, but it's Lawrence. And yes, I would like to talk about the cemeteries. St. Louis has some great cemeteries, and up this way north, there's Bell Fountain, which is markets itself well. They got a lot of famous people there. But then there's Calvary Cemetery. Unfortunately, it has not been able to market itself as well. Dred Scott is buried there, and Tennessee Williams and others.
Absolutely. Both of the cemeteries that you mentioned are in the book, and I think those are also fantastic places to learn a lot about the history of St. Louis. For one thing, you'll walk around and you'll find out where many of our street names and building names and neighborhood names came from. And yeah, I feel like you're right. Bell Fountain has a marketing machine for sure. And then once you get up there, hopefully people see, wait, what's this one? Because Calvary is right next door. So hopefully they're getting a little bit of benefit from all of the marketing that Bell Fountain's been able to do. And then also there are other really interesting historical cemeteries in St. Louis, including several that have great ties to the Jewish communities in St. Louis, African-American history in St. Louis. So it's definitely not a morbid thing at all, but really a great way to find more stories than you might have ever known about.
And I would suggest even spreading your wings a little bit and going out into the countryside. Herman has a very interesting cemetery, and it's full of German history because of the people who populated that town so many years ago.
You can practice your German pronunciation, I'm sure, on the headstones.
That's right. right. You can reacquaint yourself with an umlaut or two. You can't do anything with regard to St. Louis history and St. Louis things to do and places to go without bringing music into the equation, because the history of music in this town is legendary.
It is, and it's not something we've done a great job of capitalizing on the way that your New Orleans and your Memphis and Chicago have. And I think that is turning around. One thing that's new to this edition also is the National Blues Museum, which is obviously a huge draw for downtown St. Louis. And I think it's been kind of a gathering place because there's a tremendous blues scene. There has been and still is a tremendous blues scene in this town, and it's given that entire group of musicians kind of a central point of so people can get into it from one place, which is amazing. Also, I think the Scott Joplin House is another place that folks probably have heard about and maybe meant to go, and I would be interested to know how many have gone. But just understanding the role of ragtime and the role of entertainers and the role again, of just how the city turned into, you know, went from a sleepy little fur trading post to a major city with entertainment and vice and all kinds of things like that is a great way to discover the history.
And what a contribution the river has made to all of that, because the river was the highway that brought it up from other places of note in the music world, New Orleans in particular.
I think maybe conquering the river's role in our history is the next big front after really celebrating our music, because again, we have yet to do a really great job with our riverfront in terms of making the tie between that and what's happening here today.
Yeah. And on both sides of the river. I mean, it's occurred to me on many occasions, you go downtown, you look at the arch, which is fine and great to do. You look across the river, it's not so fine. There's really nothing to see.
Right.
If they dressed up that side of the river, it would really be quite spectacular.
Right. Well, and there have been – and, you know, the Missouri River over on the St. Charles end of things – there's some interesting stuff happening there now, particularly around Lewis and Clark and all of those important events in our past. So I think we're getting there. It just may take us a little while.
Speaking of St. Charles, anything included in your book that related to that fine town?
Absolutely, yes. Well, the boathouse, the Lewis and Clark boathouse is one of the items. I just had the chance to go. I've had been before on my own, but I just recently had a chance to go on a guided tour there, which was a huge eye-opener. People should always do that. Find those docents. That's what they're there for. They can tell you lots of great stories that you'll never get to read about. And then I think the Christmas traditions, if you are a lover of Christmas traditions in St. Charles is pretty interesting. If people do not know about it, they have Santas, multiple Santas from many different cultures and many different time periods. And they have their own trading cards, limited edition trading cards. So you can get your kids interested in, like, grabbing all these trading cards while you shop and have a glass of wine.
Yeah, well, there again, an opportunity to educate the kids as well as yourself.
Exactly.
Okay, we talk about music in St. Louis and music in this region. Another big one is sports.
Sports, that's right. We have a lot of sports here.
We've already talked about wrestling. I'm not sure that qualifies, but we can move on.
That may be more on the drama end of things. I'm not sure. Right, well, there are so many. I mean, this is a sports town. I am the ultimate fair weather fan. So when the Cardinals are winning, I start paying attention. I go to a couple of games and I get very excited and I have my yearly $12 margarita at the ballpark and then that's kind of it. But it is so much a part of the fabric of our town, and being there for things like Cardinals opening day is one of the items in the book. It doesn't matter if you like baseball or the Cardinals or not, to be out in public with people who are joyful about a thing that brings us all together is a pretty special experience.
Bringing us together. That's what it does. That's what the role that sports plays, isn't it?
Well, and it's funny. We have great college sports as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way, if you don't want to spend money on major league sports or big time sports, you can go to a SLU women's soccer game and see all kinds of neighbors that you never knew were out there. And it's a lot of fun.
A couple of emails and tweets here. Clayton tweets, anything about some of the greatest architecture in the country?
For sure. I actually mentioned some of the architecture tours that you can take in downtown St. Louis. Another sort of hidden gem I think that many people may not know about is the presence of the Frank Lloyd Wright home that's here in Kirkwood that you can go and visit. And it's, if not the only, among the only homes that he designed literally everything about, so the building, but also the textiles that are on the upholstered pieces of furniture, all of the accents and accoutrements. So that's definitely something that would be worth seeking out.
Emily has emailed, St. Louis seems to have a huge number of various festivals throughout the year. Does the guide include them?
Yes, I include several. I have a soft spot for the Polish Festival. Mm-hmm. Because it happens in something called the St. Louis Falcon's Nest, mm-hmm. and it's in a fantastic historic old home on St. Louis Avenue. The Lebanese Festival, I think, is great. Labor Day weekend Greek Festival, I could go on. And you know, for me, it's all about the food. So I'm just thinking, where can I go eat?
We pointed that out at the beginning. Food is where it all got started, with 100 things to do in St. Louis before you die. Let's take one more call before we have to say goodbye. Suzanne is calling from St. Louis. Suzanne, thank you for calling.
Yes, I just wanted to say that wrestling is really quite an amazing sport in St. Louis. The St. Louis Sports Commission has been very successful with the NCAA in bringing the college tournament to St. Louis. In fact, I think the NCAA recognizes that St. Louis for wrestling is the best place to be.
And you're talking about real, actual athlete wrestlers who are trying to make a name for themselves. It is pretty significant when they come to town.
Suzanne, thank you.
It's a great draw to St. Louis.
Thank you for the call, Suzanne. I will take one more. Art joins us from St. Louis. Make it quick, Art, if you would.
Sure. Quick trip over on the east side when you're near the casino at the Malcolm Martin Fountain is a fabulous trip by bicycle or car. And looking back at St. Louis from there is a real treat.
That's absolutely the best view of downtown, and I'm amazed more people don't head over there to take all their pictures, because you're right. There's your postcard shot. You start on the other side and look over. Thanks for mentioning that. You're right, for sure.
Particularly when they're having fireworks downtown. The fireworks reflecting off the buildings is really very, very spectacular. And I guess they're going back soon for the 4th of July.
That'll be great.
Okay, Amanda Doyle, thank you so much for being with us. Again, the book is 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die. Sunday on October 15th, Amanda will have a book sale and signing at the Campbell House Museum here. And on Saturday, November 4th, a book signing at the 6th North Cafe in Baldwin. Best of luck to you with the book. It's always a lot of fun to talk to you about that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.